following was recorded at the St. Louis Bi-State Area Retreat held September 11th and 12th, 2020. We would like to remind you that the opinions expressed here today are those of the individual and they do not represent OA as a whole.
I had a great lunch. I had my food all fixed this last night. All I had to do is pop it in that delightful microwave and ate. I even was able to lay in my chair and put my feet up for 15 minutes. So that was a great thing. I definitely know how to try to take care of myself. And what I was thinking about, I'm so glad I don't have to run and catch a plane to come home now after this. You know, when we go to retreats or whatever, you got to hurry up and go catch a plane, okay? So we won't have to deal with reentry as much as we had when we would leave home and come back home, okay? Let's see, I think I have 45 minutes. I might have a little longer since we started a little early, but I'm going to talk for about 45 minutes and I got my clock set, my timer set, and then, you know, y'all can share. I really been appreciating the feedback that I've been getting and all. And because, you know, sometimes this is a lonely journey when we try to share our real self to people and all. Some people get it, some don't, and some judge it and some criticize it. You know, I know that's how we are, okay? Because I'm like that. And I know I'm not that different. But anyway, there's many things that I did touch on. I want to share about having a recovered life. I want to share about what I have recovered in my life. And the main thing that I have recovered from is that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body that the big book taught me about. You know, I've recovered that. It's not hopeless anymore because I found Overeaters Anonymous and I found these 12 steps. Also, there's many, many condition words in the program. And one of the big condition word is if, I-F. It's a little common word, if, okay? But if I don't do these things, I will not get these results, okay? I do certain things and I get certain results. In the concordance I have, it tells me that little common word, if, is in the big book and the AA 12 and 12, 443 times. Wow, that's a lot of ifs that I have to practice toward. And the word if is used to express conditions. There are many ifs in our OA literature as well. And one of the places in our OA literature that I think is so valuable, and most of us hear it at every OA meeting, is our invitation to you. And I love what it shared that, can OA guarantee me this recovery? It tells me. And then there's a powerful statement and it says, the answer is up to me. It says the answer is up to you, but it's up to me. The answer is going to be up to me. And then all of these little if words in our invitation to you that I pay attention to each time it's read, and it's what I know that I need to do. It tells me that if I'm honest, if I can honestly face the truth about myself and the illness, can I honestly face the truth about myself and the illness? And what I've understood in this program is that the main problem centers in the mind. And what I've heard is, you know, that's the most dangerous part of my disease is my mind, okay? And this brain. And I've talked about how grateful I am that Dr. Martin Lerner has given us that American alcoholic definition of how much is in the brain. And I also love, I'm gonna be quoting from the Overeaters Anonymous book where he says that recent advance in brain mapping technology, such as MRI imaging, have clearly identified specific chemicals, responses to the brain that differentiates a compulsive overeater from his or her normal addict peers. The evidence has been spectacular and theory to the level of the scientific fact. Personally, this has served to validate myself and those of us who have supported OA through the years, believing that compulsive overeaters deserves to be recognized the same way we have come to understand and treat alcoholism and drug addiction. Okay, that there's starting to be scientific proof about how dangerous this illness is and the types of food that we put in our bodies. And what I know is, you know, it's the sugar and the chocolate. But I abstain from a lot of things. I abstain from caffeine. I abstain from artificial sweeteners. I abstain from alcohol. You know, I abstain from a lot of things. And that is all part of my abstinence. I do abstain from a lot of grains. I don't eat carbohydrates and flours and stuff. I don't eat that. But I love my food. And I don't drink any kind of diet drinks or anything. And one of my friends once said, you have a boring drinking life. I said, that's okay, because it gives me a delicious life, because I don't have to alter my brain, you know, with all of those chemicals in my brain. But then in our invitation to you, it says, if you will keep coming back to meetings to talk and listen, you know, we have to listen to what others are sharing about, but we also need to share. And we can't just sit in a meeting and take. We have to give. We have to give. Okay? And it says, if you will read our literature and that of Alcoholics Anonymous with an open mind, you know, that's one of the, what Dr. Herbert Spencer said, you know, we have to have an open mind, It says, most important, if you are willing to rely on a power greater than yourself for direction in your life and to take the 12 steps to the best of your ability, we believe you can indeed join the ranks of those who recover. And, you know, I am in the ranks of people who have recovered, because I understood that the answer was up to me. Finding Answers in the Heart is the name of this retreat. I think it's very good, but the answers are up to me. The answers are up to me to find them in my heart. That's what I have to do. And also, I love it that at the end of this reading in the trifold is what I'm referring to right now. It says, if you decide you're one of us, you know, I decided I was a compulsive overeater. I decided I was going to be a member of Overeaters Anonymous. And I was welcomed with open arms. And each and every place that I've gone, I've been welcomed with open arms. And it says that then what was quoted on page 22 of the Overeaters Anonymous book. If you remove the body from the truth, when you are ready, the truth is nowhere to be found. So I cannot remove my body from this truth. But it goes on to tell me, but if I continue to bring my body to the truth, then when I'm ready, the truth is waiting there for me. And that truth, our promise of recovery, is in every OA meeting when we join hands, pray together, and joyously encourage each other to keep coming back. And you know, that's what Roseanne, our founder, Roseanne told us, and that's the name of her story in our Overeaters Anonymous book that has been in all three editions, is keep coming back. Because that's what I heard at my very first meeting, and that's what I keep on doing. Another word that is a condition word for me is must, M-U-S-T, must. You know, many times when I first came into Overeaters Anonymous, I heard there were no must. But, you know, I began to find a lot of must in this program. Right now, I've learned that in the first 164 pages of the Big Book, there are 77 musts in the Big Book and about 46 musts in the AA 12 and 12. And so when I read the Big Book and I see that word must, I see that condition word, I know what I need to do. Because if I don't do what they're suggesting, the plan that they have left down, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. It's their path that I started following, because this is where I was diagnosed with this disease of compulsive overeating. The way they described alcoholism, I understood the ism of that disease. And what I've come to understand is what the ism is for me is that unhealthy condition caused by excess of something that I ingest in my body, be it food, alcohol, drugs, whatever I am ingesting into my program that is causing this condition of having cravings or having addiction. Because weight is only a symptom. It's all of this ism that I deal with, this unhealthy conditions of my life. So one of the first musts I found was when Dr. Silkworth gave us that statement. He gave us a statement which he said, since we have suffered alcoholism, he said, they must believe that the body is abnormal as the mind, okay? That's what Dr. Silkworth told those alcoholics, okay? That's what he told them way back then. But what I also loved about that doctor is that he knew that scientific methods could not help an alcoholic. And that's why I know that no human power is going to help this compulsive overeater. It takes a power greater than me, greater than you, greater than each one of us together. It takes a power greater than all of us, but it's together that we get better, and it's together that we're able to help each other. Also, you know, Bill Wilson, I really, really enjoy Bill Wilson, his personality. You know, he was a controller. He was this, he was that. I'm pretty much a lot of what he was, you know. The thing of it is, he was desperate. He was desperate when Abby came to him and all. You know, he just was looking at this crazy man. He said starry-eyed, you know. I guess he thought he was crazy or something. Said he was starry-eyed. But, you know, then he began to listen that he wasn't just a crackpot, that he knew what he was talking about. But, you know, the most amazing thing is that Abby did not stay sober, you know, but he brought that message to Bill. And that's the way a lot of it is for us. A lot of people that I have sponsored and been around, they have not stayed at Overeaters Anonymous. But, you know, they helped get me where I am today, because I pay just as much of attention to people who relapse and what they're doing and what they're not doing as I do to what people are doing to recover, because I don't want to go there. So what Bill talked about was, he said that he must turn in all things to the Father of Light who presides over us all, you know. And that reminds me of my name, the meaning of my name, that, you know, God is gracious and God is my light. And so I need to continue to turn to that God of my understanding that has all that power. And I'm so grateful that I was able to find my own conception of God. I didn't have to pay attention to what they were talking about. Another thing is, when I was in the program, I think it was 11 months and all, and I was reading the preface in the big book, and the last sentence on that page where it says, "Yes, I believe this program can work for me too." Yes, I believe that. I started believing that way back then. And because it says, "We hope that you may pause in reading one of the 42 personal stories and think, yes, that happened to me. Or more important, yes, I felt that way. Or most important, yes, I believe this program will work for me." And so I started believing that way, way back when I was in the program about 13 months. And you know, I'm grateful that I believe that. I believe that today. But on page 59, it's also that sentence. Somehow or another, it's those last sentences of paragraphs or stories of people, you know, that really, really have grown to my attention. The last paragraph on page 29, where it says, "We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholics, men and women desperate in need, will see these pages, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that they will be persuaded to say, 'Yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. I must have this thing.'" You know, and it was amazing to me, because, you know, Jimmy and I were just like inseparable through so much of our lives, and we went everywhere together. You know, we went to family reunions together. We went everywhere together. We brought our three kids with us everywhere. And when I started traveling and going with OA and everything, Jimmy would turn up at these family reunions by himself, and they would want to know where Janice is. And the man had to start explaining to him where I was and why I was doing that. And then he would tell him, "Janice has to have this thing." And I thought that was the sweetest thing that my husband could tell people, that I had to have this thing, okay? So through the years and everything, the more it went, when they would see Jimmy, "I guess Janice is on one of her trips. Where is she now?" You know, they begin to understand that Janice was taking these trips and why she was taking these trips. And they learned a lot about Overeaters Anonymous through Jimmy telling them, you know, what Overeaters Anonymous was and what it was meant to me. But anyway, yes, I am one of these alcoholics that were desperate and needed a higher power and needed each other to recover. And so I must have this thing, and I got this thing, and I'm going to keep repeating it and repeating it and preaching it day in and day out. And, you know, it's been The last time I did a retreat or a convention or whatever was in February of 2018. That's a long time. That's a long time since I have pulled all of my stuff together. And I'm just really grateful that I had that opportunity once more to be able to pull it all together, that I could understand it better. But I also gathered more information about myself, because I was seeking, I was trying to find the answers in my heart to be able to share with you people where it would be meaningful and that y'all would probably be able to relate with me. And I hope that that's happened. And from the comments that I've gotten, I really believe that it has, okay? On page 33 in the big book, it taught me that, let me see where that must is. Okay, it's more about alcoholism. I think that it's amazing. There's a lot of ifs in there, and I love the stories. I love their stories about how they had bad cases of the jitters, and they didn't get the full knowledge of their condition, and so they drank again. You know, they drank again. I love the stories, and that's why I'm telling y'all my story. I'm telling y'all my sacred story. I'm telling y'all the divine story of my life and my recovery. But it says on page 33, this case contains a powerful lesson. Most of us have believed that if we remain sober for a long stretch, that we could therefore drink normally. Wow, is that ever a concept that needs to be smashed? There's no way that I'm going to be able to eat normally, whatever normal is, okay? But I know for me, normal for me nowadays is to be abstinent. To be abstinent, because abstinence is my spirituality. I really, really know that spirituality is the devotion to spiritual instead of food, and compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors. And that to me, my abstinence is undoubtedly the life and soul of spirituality. Abstinence goes much deeper. It's spiritual to me. Abstinence is spiritual to me. And I know that I'm never gonna be able to go to be able to eat those chocolates and sweets again and eat that cereal in the middle of the night. I know I'm not gonna be able to do that, nor do I want it. And I love the new definition of Overeaters Anonymous that came out of 2020. The definition, I love that second part where it says, recovery is the removal of the need to engage in compulsive eating behavior. It's that removal of the need to do that. I think that is so, so powerful. I don't have the need to do that. And so that's part of my spirituality there. But on page 33, it goes on to say, but here is a man who at 55 years found he was just where he had left off at 30. We have seen truth demonstrated again and again. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Okay, once a compulsive overeater, always a compulsive overeater. Because commencing to drink after a period of sobriety, we are in a short time as bad as ever. And then there's that little condition word right there where it says, if we are planning to stop drinking, there must. There are two condition words in this sentence right here, if and must. There must be no reservation of any kind, nor any lurking notion that someday we will be immune to alcohol. I'm never going to be immune to sugar. I'm never going to be immune to chocolate. I'm never going to be immune to a lot of the chemicals that are in these foods that are made today. You know what? In 1978, there wasn't near as many chemicals as they are today. Oh my God, I can't even pronounce some of the words that are in some of these foods that the companies are selling us and everything. And so, you know, I just keep it really, really simple. The fresh, you know, and I'm grateful for that. I would like to share about some of the things that I have recovered from, because it's very important for me to understand where I've come from and what I'm doing. But, you know, I've been taught a day at a time about living a recovered life. You know, I have recovered from that need to allow others, TV, newspapers, magazines to pull me away from what I know works in my life. I know that these 12 steps work in my life. I know that I don't have to pay attention to all those diet gimmicks and all this, this and that and that. I have to say that from time to time, my attention did kind of go to that. But it's like Bill Wilson told me, he had found utopia. He found utopia. I have found utopia. That is one of the last sentences in Bill's story. He found utopia, and that's an ideal place. This is an ideal place for this compulsive overeater, okay? And in the OA 12 and 12, I read that negative thinking like fear is a habit many of us have had to let go of if we have recovered, okay? Fear, I had to let go of fear, false evidence appearing real. It's just false evidence appearing real. And why I'm afraid is I'm afraid I'm not going to get something I want, or I'm afraid I'm going to lose something I already have, okay? Fear. But there is fear inventory, and there are prayers that I can ask God to draw my attention away from that, draw my attention away from that fear, and live in the promises of this program. I have learned that the word recovered is in the first 160 pages of the B book 17 times. And these are some of the things that I have recovered from. I have recovered life and learned that life is a gift from God. Remember, my birth certificate, it said that I was born alive. Okay, I had life from the moment I was conceived in my mother's womb until the day that I came out of that womb on April 7th of 1939, and my French-speaking grandmother delivered me. And I just think that that is a beautiful sight to continue to think about. And I also have recovered from eating sugar and chocolate. And one of the biggest things is what I have recovered from is taking diet pills, that desire to take diet pills. I mean, I carried that desire for so long in my life. And even through the 6 years that I didn't take them, I really, really was wishing that they would have come out with something. But just like those doctors said, science haven't proved this yet. Science hasn't made a discovery for this yet. It hasn't for me. And I have recovered my self-image and my self-worth. I'm going around the country and telling people that I'm a wild woman, woman of worth. Wow, you know, I have a lot of acronyms about my name, and wow is one of them. I said, I don't have a master's degree or a doctor's degree, but I got a lot of letters behind my name. And one of them is W-O-W, okay? And another one is G-A-S, gas, okay? I was doing a retreat in Memphis, Tennessee one time, and I said, you know, God brought me to OA, and from there I got abstinent, and from there it brought me into service. And a lady said, you know, Janice, that's an acronym for gas, okay? And so I've been going around the country saying, you know, I am full of gas, okay? It was so adorable, because when I went to Australia, I shared that. And, you know, they don't talk like we do here, because it's not gas, it's petroleum or something like that. So they didn't understand. They didn't understand the meaning of it. And so when I ran for a general service trustee, one of the trustees got up and she said, Janice, I've been rooming with you a lot of times. And I have come to learn that you have a lot of gas. And the chairperson went ballistic. He said, no, you got to stop that. You got to stop that. We can't talk about any bodily functions here. But I mean, he went ballistic, okay? A girl from Australia got up and started sharing what it meant. It was so adorable that a people from the outside of the International Fellowship got up and explained to the chairperson what that really meant, okay? And so he almost fell down after that. He had to sit down on his chair to be able to comprehend that. So that was a delightful memory. But also, because that first happened in Memphis and everything, one year they had a Region 8 Recovery Convention in Business Assembly, and that was their theme, gas up in Memphis. So that, you know, it was just really, really fun. God, abstinence, and service in that order. So that is some more letters that are at the end of my name, okay? I have recovered my healthy self-esteem, Before OA, I would not have been able to do this. I would not have been able to, you know, continue to talk like this because OA has really given me the words. It has given me the understanding. You know, I got to tell y'all this. Jenny and I got married. I was 17 years old, and I had one more year left of high school because we had been dating 2.5 years, and he was living down here in Houma working in the oil field is why we're down here. And my mama kept saying, you're never going to finish school. You're never going to finish school. And I said, well, I want to finish. And she wanted me to finish school. Okay. And so Jimmy said, well, I'm going to go and talk to the principal at Terrebonne High School in Houma and see if Janice can go to school married. And he did that. We did that. He brought me to that school and talked to that principal. And he said that we were going to be getting married and I wanted to finish school. And the principal agreed to it, okay? I was the first married girl to graduate at Terrebonne High School married, okay? So anyway, I just was praying I wouldn't get pregnant. And you know, I was raised Catholic and the birth control is a sin in the Catholic Church. And oh my God, I sinned so many times, you know? And the thing of it is, it really, really self-separated me from God, okay? I did go to school. I didn't get pregnant. I got pregnant two months after I graduated. I would bring my report card home and Jimmy would sign my report card, okay? Because it would have been a long, long distance to be able to go to Gonzales to get my mom to sign it. But, you know, that's been a fun story, a part of my sacred life that, you know, that's what really, really happened. I'm just grateful that I was able to graduate and I was able to have a healthy pride. I have a healthy pride today. I have recovered my security, my security, because a lot of times I felt insecure. And many times, you know, doing this service work, I have felt insecure because sometimes I didn't really know what I was doing, but I just kept trying to do what other people were doing. And if I didn't understand it, they would help me and everything. And another thing that I want to share that has been so delightful for me is when I went to Australia, Brisbane, Australia, when I went over there for a month by myself, the people, I loved it. I stayed a week in each place and people love for you to me to visit and all, but I want to tell you, I did my share of hosting people in my home and in my town, because each time Homer had a birthday or something, I would host them, okay? Jimmy is a swamp man. He's an outdoorsman, and he has what we call a mud boat. It's where you can go up into the mud and the lilies and everything. And we would take these people from all over the world, really, that would come, and we would take them on this boat tour. And they just loved it. And people were like breaking my door down wanting to come so they could go have a swamp tour trip. But anyway, we did that a lot. We did it a lot. And a couple of people that I know, they would say, I can't believe Jimmy is all you say he is, you know, because I would be telling them this and all that. I can't believe he's all you say he is, you know. So when they would come, I'd say, well, is Jimmy all I say he is? And they say, and more, you know, and more. I mean, I wasn't lying about the man, you know, he's just a great, great, great man. I began hosting people way when I first started Overeaters Anonymous, but in 1918, there was this lady that was at an assembly, some Region 8, I don't know what it was, but it was in New Orleans, okay? And she was staying at, is it hostel? Is that how you say that? A hostel? That's how she was traveling across the country. She wanted to know if she could come down to South Louisiana, to Houma. And I told her, yeah, come on. And she was a belly dancer, okay? And she had her belly dancing suit with her and everything. And it was my daughter, it was in November, and my daughter's birthday is November the 12th. So we had some entertainment for the family with this girl from Australia that was traveling across the United States doing the belly dance and everything. Okay. Well, when I was in Brisbane in 2011, this girl was working at a, like with animals and stuff, like a zoo or something like that. And they would take, gave us a tour, and she said, you know, she said, I went to Louisiana, South Louisiana one time, and I stayed at this family that her husband was a taxidermist. So that was me. That was me. I mean, she didn't recognize me. I didn't recognize her. Okay. It was a wonderful thing because she had a picture of her and I at my house that she had had all those years. And she gave me that picture. Okay. And the most wonderful thing about that is that it was when Brisbane had flooded or something, and she was in the middle of a flood or whatever, and she was able to locate that picture of her and I with me being there. Now, you tell me that's not God, okay? Is it odd or is it God? But, you know, that's just one of the sweet, sweet stories that I have about that, that is so, so beautiful, okay? Because, you know, having recovered my security, you know, to be able to be secure enough to travel all across the world by myself, knowing that there was going to be somebody there waiting for me. And I was never afraid that somebody was not going to be there waiting for me. And I want to tell you, that was way before cell phones. You understand what I'm saying? People weren't keeping track of everybody every minute, okay? You know, I know that insecurity lies at the heart of the fear of change, but I don't have that insecurity anymore. I value change. I mean, just like this, look at the change that this has brought about in us, you know, to be able to all be here today. Like right now, we're 47. I don't think everybody showed up today, huh, Cindy? But anyway, we're 47 strong right here, okay? Then, you know, another thing is that I've come to understand my own worth, and for that I'm grateful. I have recovered an understanding and effective way of life, and I have recovered the zest and enthusiasm for life. I always had this inside of me, but, you know, it was kind of squelched with people. They thought I was too loud. They thought I was too curious. They didn't like what I was telling them. My sisters-in-law couldn't stand me, you know, because I didn't like to put up with their SHIT, and I would tell them about it, and they did not like me at all, okay? But that's okay, because I didn't like them either, okay? They were on my resentment list, and the thing of it is that when I was talking to Judy, I said, do I still have to put these people on my list? She said, well, if they still have it free rent in your head, then you need to put it on there, okay? So anyway, I hope this time is removed, okay? And I, you know, I have recovered a new freedom, you know, to be able to leave home and feel secure enough to know that whoever was waiting for me at home was going to still be there and they were going to welcome me. Jimmy had a hard, hard time at first through a process of my recovery. I mean, you know, the husbands or the wives or people and all the kids, they have to adjust to this change, okay? Real drastic change that was coming about me, that I was always home, always here, always there, but he had to change. But his insecurities really, really came out. And part of his insecurity was he thought I was running around. He thought I was going to meet somebody else. And I did. But the recovery helped me escape that. And I'm really grateful for that. But having met that somebody else really, really jarred me and made me realize that, you know, God is all powerful. And I have to be true to myself and true to my marriage and true to my vows. Okay. Because my marriage is sacred. And I do value that. Another thing I've recovered from is my potential, and I've recovered my trust in human nature. But I have to put a statement on that. It's only a select few people that can really be trusted. Not everybody can be trusted, okay? For instance, I experienced something a week ago that I had misplaced something and blah, 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 and I couldn't find the genealogy and all that. Somebody was really worried about me that I was losing things that I couldn't find, you know, and so they discussed that with somebody else. And I thought, this pisses me off. You know, here I am sharing at a meeting about something that didn't even relate to each other. It didn't even relate to each other. But anyway, I corrected that by addressing it with her. Okay, we have to watch what we share. And also, you know, if people get stuff out of context and everything, then I need to, it's like making that phone call. I need to make that statement. I need to talk to the person. Another thing that I have recovered from is my effective relationship with God. notice the word effective. It has to be effective, this relationship with God. And I've also developed a deeper relationship with God. Because, you know, I felt so separated from God because of the teachings of the Catholic Church. Not that I left the Catholic Church, but I felt separated from that God, from my God, and that relationship with God. One of the greatest things that I've recovered from is my trust in myself. I need to trust myself. I use the word recovered a lot here for my own self is because it shows a complete change in my attitude. It gives me a complete change in my attitude. And mostly, I have recovered sanity. I have been restored to sanity. I'm not doing those crazy things that I did to be on a diet and to lose weight and drive those many miles to get those diet pills and paying all that money. I know that, you know, that I am a compulsive overeater saved by grace. And another of the biggest things I've recovered from is that inner source of my life, you know? And I have recovered confidence in myself. And the reason why I've done that is because OA had confidence in me. OA Fellowship had confidence in me that I didn't know even know I had, okay? I can remember going to Originate Assembly. I was out of state. And this lady come up to me and she said, Janice, I think you would make a wonderful trustee. I mean, that was planted in my mind way before I even knew what a trustee was, okay? What I didn't even know what the regional assemblies was about. And then I met this guy. He told me that, he said, I could see you up there at the top meaning, you know, the trustee and all. So he planted that in my mind way, way back when. I mean, I was only in the program about 4 years, but, you know, those seeds were planted. They were planted in my mind. But people saw stuff in me, they pulled it out of me, but it began to give me confidence, you know. And I mean, it was just like so many of the trustees, they were just had my back, they wanted me to continue to do service, and I just, you know, they kept putting my name out there, and I kept saying yes to service. And as a result, I've had a beautiful recovery experience with the Board of Trustees, with Overeaters Anonymous as a whole, with the worldwide organization. I am a household name in many countries. I mean, you know, just like they're the household name in my country. I remember one time I had this friend, she lives in Caracas, and we went to this retreat. Oh my God, it was awful. It was an awful place to have a retreat. And the food was terrible, okay? And Gloria was Region 8 trustee at that time, and her and I. And when they brought that food that Friday night or Saturday, whatever, it was a little bitty salad, not enough for one of us, much less all of us at the table. And her and I looked at each other, you know. But anyway, finally on a Sunday, we had chicken. And when I saw that chicken, I said, oh my God, chicken! Just like, oh my God, chicken! And so that's my nickname for her. She calls me chicken all the time. So it's just so cute, the different names that people have given me. But she addresses me as chicken all the time. Jerry, a real good friend of mine, she calls me Honey Bunny. You know, Honey Bunny. That's her love name for me, too. And I just love it when she calls me that. And my grandkids, my oldest granddaughter, who is 39 now, she started calling me Gonnie, G-O-N-N-I-E. That's my grandparent name, Gonnie. One day I was with one of the trustees, and I remember we were on this shuttle that was bringing us back and forth. And she was asking me about my grandkids, and I told her what they called me and all. And so now she calls me Gonnie, okay? And I adore that because she calls me Gonnie. So many people, you know, the nicknames, that's my name to them. But another thing that was so precious was when I was in Pennsylvania 1 year, I was over there and I heard somebody, hey, Honey Bunny, hey, Honey Bunny. And it was somebody that Jerry knew that they knew she called me Honey Bunny. I'm just so grateful. I want to say that I can express all of this recovered places in my life, but the best way to express my gratitude is to all of the sources that I have accepted, that I've been able to develop and use, all that has given to me to the best of my ability for myself and others. And I would like to share a few.
I
things that I'm very, very grateful for. I'm grateful to God. I am grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous, to Bill W. and Dr. Bob and all those alcoholics. And I'm grateful for Overeaters Anonymous. I'm grateful for Roseanne, that she was able to, go to Gamblers Anonymous. And, you know, if y'all don't know the story, Beyond Our Wildest Dreams, all of that information is in there. And all of the trustees and all of the people that has helped build Overeaters Anonymous through the years. I'm grateful for the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts. I would also like to say that I was on the 12 Concepts Committee when I was Region 8 trustee. I was very instrumental in developing the wordings to the concepts and the spiritual principles that are on the concepts. And I'm grateful for all of the committees that I have been on in Overeaters Anonymous that I've helped establish. I've helped establish the literature that we have here, because I was on the Internal Information Committee for a long, long time as one of the trustees, but also as the trustee. Anyway, I'm grateful. I could go on and on, but I'm also grateful for Region 8. I'm grateful for Region 4. I'm grateful for Region 10. I'm grateful for the OA2s, the 12 concepts. I'm grateful for all of you. And I would like to say that my desire for the right answers are written in my heart if I just seek them. The desires for the right answers, because in the big book, there are prayers that I have to pray and ask God for the right answer. And, you know, when I sponsor people and I'm talking to them and they'll say, ask God what the right answer is, because I don't know what the right answer is for them. But, you know, I also know that I need an open mind as well as an open heart. Then I will get the right answers. And it is the hunger in my heart that seeks the right answers. The hunger of my heart. You know, I got a sweet little gift from one of the people that I love in the program. And it says, God will give you the desires of your heart. And I have it right where I put my makeup on every morning. And I look at that. Because what I have come to understand is, you know, my heart is inside my body. That is where my heart is. It comes out a lot. Okay. It's been out this weekend, but definitely the organ in my body is inside my body. And in order for my heart to be healthy, my body needs to be healthy. And in order for my body to be healthy, I need to have nutritional food put in my body. Okay, because my heart will not be healthy if I'm putting junk food in there. Because as one of the appendices says that, you know, this obesity and compulsive overeating and all causes heart disease. It causes heart disease. Anyway, I think I'll stop there. I thank y'all so much for inviting me. And I thank God that I was able to accept. And I thank the committee. I think it's been, y'all have done a wonderful job. I mean, it's been so well organized. I'm really grateful. And I'm glad I don't have to fly. I don't have to run to catch a plane, and I don't have too much reentry to do. So I'll tell you what I am going to do, that I'm going to take me a nap, because I did not sleep well last night. But I'd like to hear from y'all, and you could tell me sweet things that y'all heard. Thank you.